Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. February 21, 2020. Discover the purpose of life at the 2020 World Kabbalah Convention. From my Facebook page, Michael Leitman, the 21st of February 2020. About 30 years ago, I used to regularly walk in Yarkon Park, Tel Aviv, with my teacher, Kabbalist Baruch Shalom Halevi Ashlag, Rabash. Just 200 meters from the park bench pictured in this photo, across the road, thousands of people from all over the world will gather for the 2020 World Kabbalah Convention, people who share a common purpose, to discover nothing less than the purpose of life, the revelation of the Creator, using the method of Kabbalah. If you would have asked me 30 years ago, when I was accompanying my Rav, that an event of such magnitude would happen, that so many different people would flock to Israel from dozens of countries, and that men and women, young and old, of many different tongues, would gather in order to demand the purpose of their lives above life's other engagements, on one hand, I never would have expected it. On the other hand, I really did expect such a gathering, and even much bigger ones. However, one principle I learned very well over the last 30 years is that we do not determine what will ultimately happen. And what would Rabash have said about such a tremendous gathering, where we all assemble in his name, as Beni Baruch, the sons of Baruch? Knowing Rabash, I'm sure he would have said that he expects us to apply more efforts. I have no doubt that he would be pleased with us if he were to see our large, global and grassroots group, and knew that we have no recourse but to grow spiritually and construct ourselves as one man with one heart. From Abraham in ancient Babylon, through the Ari, Ramchal, Baal HaSulam, and Rabash. All these great Kabbalists and others hoped and worked very hard to spread the method of Kabbalah to all humanity. This year's World Kabbalah Convention will be a spiritual breakthrough and a major leap forward. As humanity further develops and crises strike from all angles, we have a very interesting time ahead of us, and I'm sure that we will realize it well. We need only have a little more patience. Increasing our positive connections at every moment is of primal importance right now. The 2020 World Kabbalah Convention in Tel Aviv, Israel is open to everyone, and I invite anyone who feels any kind of attraction or curiousness to these ideas to attend. From my Facebook page, Michael Leitman, the 21st of February 2020. Musa from Istanbul, Ingrid from Berlin, Vlad from Kiev, Helena from Spain, hundreds of people from around the world are coming to Israel in an ongoing stream gathering for the 2020 World Kabbalah Convention. The world's biggest annual Kabbalah event will take place at Geni Hatzah Ayusha, Tel Aviv Exhibition Grounds in 2020 on February the 25th to the 27th. Participants are coming together to discover the integral system that binds us all together, to feel, if only for a moment, the united soul called Adam HaRishon. The World Kabbalah Convention magnifies the efforts and desires of Kabbalah students to draw the positive force dwelling in nature to the world, to awaken love among one another until a fire of unification sets off between us all as one man with one heart. One clear conclusion that has emerged after many years of Kabbalah study: no science, wisdom or approach, psychological or pedagogical, will help human society curb or balance its overblown ego, the desire to enjoy at the expense of others, which is today at such high proportions, threatening our very existence. As the positive forces of love, connection and giving, and the negative forces of hatred, division and egoism, become more polarized and opposite to each other, gnawing away at society in myriad ways, the more people are discovering how the wisdom of Kabbalah contains a special igniting force that can balance these forces and generate a whole new level of harmonious existence among humanity. If you feel concern about the state of the world, the future of our following generations, then you are invited to connect to the convention broadcasts and participate by listening to the lessons, the discussions, the participants' concerns, hopes and prayers for the fate of the world. If we turn to the Creator, we can achieve anything. In the end, we need to understand what our desire to receive is, what it wants from us, and how to relate to it, to fight it or to use it as help against itself. Do we have any hope of resisting it? If we want to reach such a connection like a blazing fire, then the fire ignites precisely because of the resistance of the egoistic desire faithfully doing its job. It was created precisely for this, to resist us. The ego's action stops us. Even if we reach our voted, mutual guarantee, between us, it is only to decide that we have no chance of leaving Egypt. No matter how much we try to unite, we are incapable of doing so and must despair of this work. Each of us understands that we can succeed only with the help of the friend, and that is all. And with this common prayer, we draw the upper light and rise above our egoism. This is called the Exodus from Egypt. There are several conditions, a few milestones along the way through which we must go. The spiritual part Suf is built from the fact that we all support each other in order to reach the Creator. No one can come to the Creator with their own qualities, and even more so with Malkhut, because the Creator is whole, therefore, we also need to build wholeness. Do we have anything in common? The commonality is only the Creator, the common point of Keter. Each of us has our own qualities and we unite only above, in the Creator. Therefore, when we want to unite among ourselves, we despair of what is called the Sons of Israel side because of the work, realizing that they cannot do this. We can connect only thanks to the common goal. The connection should be like a blazing fire. But the main thing in the work is the disappointment, that is, the realization that it is impossible to connect. We strive to connect at any cost, but the correct result of the work is the realization that connection is impossible by any means. And then, the Sons of Israel side from work. It is a completely hopeless case if we want to achieve this ourselves, but if we turn to the Creator, then we achieve everything. The blazing fire is our common desire to bring contentment to the Creator. By the fact that we want to please each other, we give pleasure to the Creator. The Creator is the general law. If we want to turn to Him, we must first turn to the friends in the same way. From the first part of the daily Kabbalah lesson, February 7, 2020, the power of connection, a burning fire, preparation for the convention in desert. New stage, new person. Question: do you think humanity is rising to a spiritual degree? Answer: yes, it is rising, but this ascent is modular because, in fact, humanity is descending. However, it descends on purpose in order to understand the emptiness of our world. This is the revelation of truth, and it is thus an ascent. There is greater and greater revelation of the upper light. On one hand, we feel that we are more developed, and on the other hand, lower and emptier. However, this is a good place. Now we are entering a new stage when the next generation comes to Kabbalah. These people do not want to conquer the world. They are satisfied with little things. They just need a computer and nothing else. It means a lot. A completely new human being has appeared in our world. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, February 12, 2020. The force that controls everything. Comment: evolution occurs at the intersection of the interaction of two forces, positive and negative. Scientists say that the explosion of a small cluster of energy, which was smaller than an atom, led to the formation of what we see around us. This, in my opinion, is harder to believe than that God created everything by some single act. My response: yes, indeed, it seems incredible. I remember the times before the Big Bang Theory was accepted. People believed that the universe existed indefinitely and was unlimited in size. This is what they told us at school. Why? That was simply the way it was, without any connection to a person. Humans were considered an accidental formation of life on Earth as a result of the coincidence of some properties. This is how we develop, this is how we live, this is life. That is, a purely mechanical theory was recognized. In parallel, there was, of course, the so-called divine theory, creationism, which stated that an upper force created all this because it wanted to. Question: what does Kabbalah say? Answer: Kabbalah says that neither one nor the other is wrong. We simply need to understand what is happening to our world based on what reveals to a person studying Kabbalah. One reveals that there is a program of creation based on a positive upper force that develops everything and governs this program. We can call this force our maker, the creator, or God, it does not matter. This force controls everything. It has a program, a preset goal, and we develop along this path, whether we want to or not. No one asks us about this at all. We have a given starting point of our development and its end so we can go through this whole path, develop, and comprehend ourselves. Based on this, we would comprehend our source, the creator, the upper force of nature, to such an extent that we would absolutely and completely identify, connect, and merge with this force. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, March 11, 2019. New Life Number 1182. Connecting to the Upper Force.
Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about connecting with the upper force. Many people talk about the upper force. Some believe that he exists. Some believe that he doesn't. We'll try to find out what exactly or who exactly is it. Be with us. Tal, please.
Yeah. Today there are many methods in the world that this is exactly what they're meant for. And what I'd like to talk about today is an approach that says that when we live our life trying to achieve what we want, many times we see that we're not really in control of the outcome. And so the idea is that probably a person has to stop and understand that there's another force working here, some higher plan, and to learn how to connect with this force, how to live out of connection with this force, and then a person will be able to make his dreams come true, and so on. Now, it's done in different ways. Meditation, palm reading, different ways. And we'd like to ask, what does the wisdom of Kabbalah say about the upper plan, the upper force that really controls our life, and how to connect with them in order to attain what we want? And all this in 30 minutes. Yeah, let's take it step by step. The wisdom of Kabbalah says that we're living inside the upper force, inside him, but we don't feel him. We're not discovering him. What we feel is only ourselves. And what seems to us as the world is what we depict out of our own forces, and only. And what we can do is reach a state where we let go of our false perception and reach a real perception, where we feel the upper force acting outside of us, disconnected from any imaginations, desires, or thoughts of ours. But what we want is to feel him as is, and not the way I can imagine and depict it, and so on. And so the wisdom of Kabbalah says, if you really want to attain the truth of what's outside of you, then you need to exert yourself. Meaning, you have to leave your own nature, which is the egoistic desire to all the time pull and pull different things that seem nice and appealing to you from the environment, from this world. You as if have to stop yourself and see, what do? Because you're not the master of your own desire. But you are the master in terms of whether to realize your desire or not. Try it. How can you do that? You have to search for a society that have the same opinion as you do, that you want to feel the truth, and not to run your entire life after nonsense, after the things that your desire, the desire of each of you, drags you to. So there's societies that are drawn to football, some want to go fishing, and there is a society, or you should arrange such a society, that wants to rise above all of these attractions that we have, and to attain the world that is outside of this range of my desire, above it. I want to see the reality as it is without being corrupted by my own desire. And then maybe I'll see a different reality, a higher reality. So for this, I need a society that can help me. For us to convince each other that it's good for us, preferable for us, to rise above our desires that awaken in us each and every moment, and that the only thing that we want is to get to know the upper force. And if so, to connect with the upper force is actually what we do want to do. Today, there are different people that promise me that they can teach me how to generate a reality. It's called manifestation. I'll teach you how to connect with the upper force, the good thoughts. And you'll be able to create your own reality. It could be different things. It's about a person's desires. Give me LSD or different other drugs, and I'll do it simply. No problem. Why? Go study this, that. You take some drugs, and that's that. But people say that it works for them, that they can create the reality that they want for themselves. Suddenly there are miracles happening, and are they imagining it? Of course it's in your own imagination, because it doesn't happen for other people. Right, there are those that it works for them and those that it doesn't. What do people feel here? Inner persuasion, who knows what that is? Inner persuasion, that by teaching themselves to think this way or feel that way, they go into this kind of trip, and that's that. There's nothing real about it. I don't know if they can also feel it in groups, that they exercise and do different things, but I never took interest in these things, because things that people can invent by themselves, they're always in doubt. For example, how did people come to these ideas? They describe how they were able to, as if dismiss any self-interest, and they wrote about this field of energy that came down upon them, and they wrote about these spiritual ideas then. So are these ideas real in any way? I don't think so, but I'm not pushing to impose my opinion over others. A person has to check. And the more he has to advance in his inquiries, he has to advance. And then he'll see, what does he stop at? There are those that stop at simple beliefs. There are those that bow to trees and rocks, to different idols, also music, drawing, all these things, architecture, it doesn't matter what. These things are things that a person bows to as well. He appreciates them to a certain extent and he wants to research them and realize them somehow and maybe do something similar. It's also a kind of belief, a kind of connection, a kind of religion, that even though that we call it art or some kind of profession, it could be engineering, it could be anything. Actually, a person expresses his internality, the extent to which he wants to become similar to nature. Maybe he builds missiles, but all in all, this is what he wants to do. Whereas, when a person says that, I do not want to be connected at all to all of these things, but I only need to understand the meaning of life, and the meaning of life is to get to know the upper force. So, I have to delve into nature, and also to rise above it. Meaning to meditate on my own nature and to rise above my own nature. And then a person starts examining himself. That is, nature is egoistic. He starts examining the things we talked about many times. You said that a person has to learn how to stop himself. How does he stop himself with all of his aspirations, desires, thoughts? I can get into music, architecture, different things like that, and to be in it my entire life. Or I should say, wait a moment, all in all, to be a composer, a musician, or something, isn't my goal. My goal is to reach the meaning of life. Where does life come from? Where does it all cascade from? Where does this universe come from? Where do I come from with my perception of the universe and everything that exists here? Why do I see things the way that I do? That I see myself separately and mankind separately and the stars separately and everything. I want to know, why do I feel the world the way that I do? And what am I supposed to do with all of this? And so, I'm perplexed. But obviously, I don't want to get into physics, astronomy, science, cultures, religions, or anything. I don't see it as something that can help me attain the starting point of the whole of reality. Physics researches the starting point. No, physics researches it out of the qualities of a small, simple, egoistic person who are physicists. It's not that physics is doing research, but it's physicists that are doing research. So, what are you saying? I'm saying that the person himself can't be the researcher because he's corrupt from the very start. And he can't think about something that doesn't exist in him. It's impossible to rely on a person in this regard. People can invent whatever's good and convenient for them subconsciously. And a person will never think about something that's inconvenient or not good for them. So a person always takes some side. He sides with his ego. Okay. So if we're talking about connecting with the upper force, I understand that it's possible to connect with the upper force, and I also understand that we exist in the upper force, only we don't feel him. If we exist in the upper force, why don't we feel him? And by the way, the fact that we don't feel the upper force, I think that that divides people into two groups. Those that believe that he exists, and those that don't believe that he exists. Those that believe, they invent 1,000 different ways of how to connect with the upper force, and then they start fighting with each other, who's right, who's wrong, and sometimes millions of people are killed in the name of one or another higher force. So you start by saying that we live in the upper force, and we don't feel him or it. Why? Kabbalists explain that we don't feel him because we have a different quality than he does. We can feel the upper force only if we equalize with his quality. His quality is bestowal and love, and our quality is reception and hate. rejection. And that's why we don't feel him. We live inside the bubble of our ego, and I see everything through my egoistic glasses. Meaning, all of my senses are egoistic, and through these senses, I see reality. And I can't see the reality that's beyond that. I can't see the reality of bestowal and love. We also have something that's called love and bestowal, but it's egoistic. It's in order to benefit ourselves. Does the upper force want to be in contact with us? Is he trying to be in some kind of contact with us? The upper force, actually, he is the only one who wants to be in contact with us and to reveal himself to us and his quality of love and bestowal. In what way, actually, is he creating this connection? Gradually, he's bringing us to a state where, first of all, we see ourselves. We see that to exist in the force of reception is a very lowly, temporary and random existence, and the only way to come out into the truth and eternity is on condition that we attain the quality of bestowal. Does he have some kind of language through which he talks to us that we can identify? The language is what we, if we make an effort, we'll feel inside ourselves. When people say that they see different signs and decipher different things as a message from that upper force, is it a part of their communication with the upper force? Yeah. What kind of signs maybe the Creator is sending us? The signs are that they study the wisdom of Kabbalah, that they're in a certain society, and then by correctly using the advice of Kabbalists, they advance toward feeling others. How can I know whether I'm on some kind of trip, like we said before, that I'm maybe in some kind of fantasy about being in contact with some upper force that I imagine to myself, or that I'm really in contact with them? This is something that a person gradually discovers by all the time trying to be in the force of bestowal, discovering how much he's not there, and then time after time he starts seeing himself going into a new connection of bestowal and love with the correct environment. Scientifically, if I want to measure a person's connection with what he calls the upper force versus another person and what he thinks is the upper force, how could I give some kind of a scientific definition? What is connection with the upper force and what is a trip, what is fantasy? This is to the measure to which a person rises above his ego. This is the standard? Yes. And rising above the ego is what? That a person can bestow good things onto others, even though that it is not to his own benefit. Meaning, he puts a restriction over his own benefit, not thinking about himself at all, taking into consideration only the benefit of others. You're talking about a person's interaction with another person. How's that related to the upper force? Because then, that way, he becomes similar to the upper force. What do you mean? To become similar means to come closer. Becomes similar to what? To the upper force. So, the way I can measure fantasy versus truth in regard to my connection with the upper force is the way that I relate to other people. Meaning, if I can relate to others above my own ego, that makes me more and more like the upper force, and then what? We're in contact? Yes, to that measure, a person starts feeling, understanding the upper force, connecting with them mutually. Starting to understand, to get to know him, to reveal him. So much so that and all of his qualities and desires, a person starts perceiving this force, that it's not something foreign, but that he's really clothed in him. When you said that in order to connect with the upper force, a person only needs to give without thinking about himself at all. And we know that there's something very existential about our existence. We're all the time struggling to survive. So how is it possible to reach a state where you don't think about yourself at all? Where do you get the confidence from to let go? It's kind of detached from our physical existence. So it's very good that this is how it is, that we really have to acquire a sense of confidence and to establish ourselves altogether. It's all in the upper force, and only. I don't understand. She asked, where do I get the confidence from to think only about others and not myself? Well, life forces me to think about my own survival. Right. This is also a feeling that I get from the upper force. What feeling? A sense of confidence. A confidence in what? That what I'm doing correctly, and that this is the only thing to do. But what about my own survival? I'm doing the correct, necessary things, unique things that you can't do any other way. You can't do it any better. I don't understand. Tal says that nature created us as animals that have to take care or think about their own survival. We're like animals in this regard. How does our urge to survive coincide with this evolvement where a person develops the ability to think about others? Even if it's not to his own benefit, he can benefit others. How does that work? It is as if it goes against our basic instinct, animal instinct, to survive. Gradually, these kinds of states bring a person a special force called the light of confidence, that he can let go of worrying about himself. Yeah, a person actually enjoys the uncertainty. What's going to happen? And yes. That's called that the dead are free, meaning the will to receive that dies, meaning my ego, that I no longer take interest in what's going to happen with it, then I feel that I'm free of problems, worries, everything. Meaning you don't mind about dying. Of course, this is something that we're not talking about at all. I kind of lost you. A person like this, he quits his job, walks around looking for people that he can benefit. What? No. To the contrary. He feels that he has to work, do what he does, fulfill his role. He has a family, he has children, someone has to feed them. Of course, but along with this, his attitude towards life, it's not that he changes his corporeal ways in life. The world is as it was, but his inner attitude towards life, what only he feels, is an attitude that's really very different from other people. He does in corporeality everything meticulously, whatever is necessary. And no one knows why, what for. They think, everyone thinks that he's like any other person. But he does it because inside that, he wants to reveal that neither corporeality nor all of these calculations influence him in any way. And he is in complete bestowal. Is it possible to say that such a person actually possesses the upper force? Of course. A person that possesses the upper force. What's the difference between him and a person who does not possess the upper force? Meaning, we're no longer talking about a religious or a secular approach here. An approach that says that I believe in the upper force, and if you believe, there's nothing to be afraid of, versus an approach that says that it's all fairy tales and opium for the masses. What are we actually talking about here? We're talking about a person who starts feeling the upper reality and that he lives in it. But this higher reality, it's not that it comes instead of our current reality, that if I feel a superior reality, then of course it's stronger, greater, whole and complete, and then of course I live and behave according to its laws, according to the laws of that reality. No. But I discover the eternity of bestowal, of love of others, of being outside of myself. And then, by living my life this way, I discover myself in the upper world. There's no additional egoistic gain in these inclinations, qualities, desires, like I had here in this world. But I rise to a level where I'm connected to a higher reality. This is something that you can't explain, and about this it says, taste and see, the Creator is good. What's the difference between discovering myself in the upper world and connecting with the upper force? Upper world, upper force, what's the connection between these two concepts? The upper force is the force of bestowal and love. That to the extent to which I try to be in that, for this I have to receive from above, from outside of this world, forces that will arrange me that way. And that's the upper force, on the one hand. And on the other hand, it's that I acquire him and really already live in a different world. I take this world into consideration, but only to the measure to which I can benefit it. Probably such a person, he doesn't have any demands, any complaints against anyone. No, he doesn't take other people into consideration in this regard. He knows and understands and sees how they're all being controlled. What if someone else does something to him, then he's indifferent? It's not that he's indifferent, but he understands that it's not that person that he has to deal with, but it's the upper force that controls everything. What do you mean to deal with? He understands that everything that happens is arranged by the upper force in everything in life. And what does it mean to act in this life out of synchronization with the upper force? Yeah? It's to take the source of life into consideration. So if I want to do the right things in life, I have to do it in accordance with that force, with that source, of course. Otherwise, how can you measure whether you're acting correctly or incorrectly? Whether you have to calculate your future one way or another? Only in regard to the upper force, only in regard to him can you measure and act and see the results later on. What does this mean? In regard to the force of love and bestowal, then you can feel what that is. But what do you mean by to measure? To measure the extent to which I'm adhered to this force, to this intention of love and bestowal. And how can a person know what actions does he have to take? It becomes revealed to him. Like in this world, we understand something. Somehow, we can say that we know and understand something. There, the entire and complete feeling and understanding is revealed to him. Last question. We talked about connection with the upper force, and previously you mentioned that a person gets a sense of confidence. That's also the upper force. It's the same force, only that it's revealed to us every time in different ways. So the condition for reaching a complete sense of confidence in life Is reaching equivalence with the force of love and bestowal? Yes, and this is something that can be done only by being in the right group that wants it. That this is what you study in the wisdom of Kabbalah. Yes. Thank you very much, Dr. Leitman. Thank you, Tai. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.